The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on the epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the Christian religion was born out of love. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we read that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ's gospel is a gospel of love, as you read in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for an apostate and sinful race. We Christians are admonished to love one another and to love our enemies, to love our neighbours as ourselves, and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We know that love is a fulfilling of the law, and today our text speaks of the supremacy of love. May the Lord bless the meditation. Firstly, the supremacy of love over other gifts. Our text begins with these three verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There are five gifts or virtues listed in these three verses. They are important in themselves, but without love, they are nothing, like a dead tree or an empty, deserted house. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Paul said that if a person had the gift of tongues, yes, if you could speak like an angel, but if you lacked love, you would be like cold metallic brass or a noisy tinny cymbal which nobody could understand. That is the way eloquent speaking may be, even if it deals with great spiritual issues, if love is absent. Even if a person can prophesy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even if you have the deepest insight into the hidden mysteries of God, If love is lacking, you are nothing, a non-entity. Scripture tells us that in the last day some people will come to the Lord and say, as written in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This clearly shows that faith and knowledge without love is dead. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. A man or woman with faith that accomplishes certain things is nothing if love is lacking. In order to be emphatic, Paul here assumes an impossible state of affairs. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Some people give to the poor from ulterior motives, some out of compulsion, some out of compassion. But if I am only touched by the abject poverty of men, but do not have love for my fellow men in general, and for my God and Saviour, it profits me nothing. And though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Even if I make a sacrificial display, although I work my heart out, but have not love, it avails nothing. Love is, of course, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as you read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it continues, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, we read, love does no harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. But let no one think that love saves a soul or that love atones for sin. Christ's blood alone cleanses us from all sin, and faith in him as our Saviour alone saves. But such faith will work by love, as we learn from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So second we will look at the supremacy of love is revealed when love is in action. So love shows its supremacy when it is in action. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is long-suffering and patient. The loving soul is capable of long, protracted restraint and endures evil without returning it. Love is kind, kind in thoughts and in the judgment of others, kind when it speaks of others, and kind in dealing with others. The man or woman who loves his neighbour as himself is never unkind or unfair, does not speak behind his back, is not given to gossip, and is no scandalmonger. Love does not envy. It is not jealous. It can see a relative, a friend, a neighbour, or a fellow church member succeed, attain prominence, without envying him or her. It may not be easy, but we must cultivate such love. Love is not puffed up. It does not think more highly of itself than it ought to think. It is not wise in its own opinion. The proud person, those with a pharisaical or hypocritical spirit, do not know love. Love does not behave rudely. Love is honest, pure, and decent. Love is not vulgar. It is not indecent. Love does not seek its own. It is not selfish. Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another. So love thinks of others before thinking of self. Love is not easily provoked. It is not sensitive or touchy. Its feelings are not easily hurt. It does not fly off at the least provocation. Love thinks no evil. Love thoughts are pure. Love plans no wrongdoing. It harbours no wicked thoughts. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It does not revel in sin, is not pleased with evil, does not gloat over the fall of other people either. There are people who glory in the failings and iniquity of other people, but love never does that. Rather, love rejoices in the truth. It is not dishonest in word or in life. It does not rejoice when lies are spoken about others and does not pass slander on, but is sincere and honest. Love bears all things. It does not murmur against God or man. It stands up when misunderstood or misjudged. It endures uncomplainingly life's crosses and trials, and it bears up under divine chastisements. Love believes all things. It does not doubt or question a person's motives. It is not suspicious of people's utterance and deeds. It does not look for their ulterior purposes. Love hopes all things. It hopes for the best. It is not easily discouraged. Hopes for good in other people, that they will improve and be different. It does not give up hope. Love endures all things. It not only bears all things, but endures in the bearing. It does not just stand up for a time, but continues in the standing up. Love endures, and its enduring keeps displaying or exercising its virtues. Love has stamina. We read in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Thus we see love at work and how love in action overcomes and dispels evil and wrong and wickedness and brings forth the fruit of faith, holiness and righteousness. A tailor will place a piece of absorbent paper over a grease spot and press on it with a hot iron. The heat will melt the grease and the paper will absorb it. This is the way love defeats bad situations. It absorbs them. Thirdly, the supremacy of love is revealed in the fact that it abides or lasts. The supremacy of love is revealed in the fact that it abides. If it abides, it lasts. Love never fails, says our text. Love never fails, but whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So love, like faith and hope, outwears other gifts. It even outlasts faith and hope because it lasts forever. The gift of prophecy, of divine inspiration, the gift of foretelling future events, of explaining God's word, will come to an end and be made useless and void and will be abolished. When the perfect one comes, then all the imperfections of this present knowledge will pass away. Paul illustrates the difference between the present and the future state by speaking of the difference between a child and a man. At present, our ideas of heavenly things do not measure up to a full comprehension of their glory and greatness. Paul uses another picture. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, that then I shall know just as I also am known. This means our imperfect knowing will be left behind, and we shall know everything just as God knows all about us. So fourthly, the supremacy of love over faith and hope. Love together with faith and hope abides. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. Yes, even in eternity, when faith has changed the sight, when hope has given way to realization and enjoyment, love continues, and then in perfection. The fact that love is called the greatest virtue does not in any way disagree with the fact that faith is the only means of obtaining salvation. We are not saved because of our greatest virtue, but because of God's grace in Christ Jesus. The greatest virtue does not necessarily justify. We are justified by faith, not love. Love, you remember, is a fulfilling of the law, as you read in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. Likewise, you read in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we love as we should, if our heart were brimful of love to God and man, we would never sin. But sin has corrupted our human nature, and we fail to love as we should. The greatest of all virtues is love. However, our love has failed, and we need a saviour, and faith in him saves. But love is still the highest and greatest virtue, even though our love has been weakened and stained by sin. We believe and hope in order that we may love, and finally love perfectly and forever. Now the vital, personal thing about this whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is this. Do we have love? Do we possess that love which transcends all other gifts and gives life and meaning and sincerity to whatever other gifts we may possess? A loveless life is an empty, shallow, selfish and sinful life. Without love, I am nothing. Do we have that love to God and man which must influence our whole living and which lifts us up above the low and vile and mean and base and contemptible and places us on the heights of true Christian living? Your life and mine, your Christianity and mine, your faith and mine, has been a failure to the extent and degree, and in the measure that we lack love in all our dealings and doings, in the exercising of our gifts, and in our relationship with our fellow men. So let us repent, turn to Christ, and pray that he may increase in us this love. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those you ask him?" A man brought back from a trip a little phosphorus matchbox, and one evening in the company of friends, he took it out to show them. All the lights were turned off, but the matchbox had no shine to it. The man thought that he had been swindled. The next day he examined the little box more closely, and on the inside he read, "If you wish me to shine, keep me in the sunlight." He did that and found that it absorbed the sun's rays and it had a brilliant glow in the dark. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So may God grant that through intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, we receive this love and live our lives in love. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.